No hooker, Summer said. A woman from the base instead.
A woman officer, I said. Maybe fairly senior. Someone with permanent access to her own Humvee. Nobody signs out a pool vehicle for an assignation like that. And she's got his briefcase. She must have.
She'd be easy to find. She'd be in the gate log, time out, time in.
I might have even passed her on the road. If she left here at 11:25, she wasn't back at Bird before about 12:15. I was leaving around then.
If she went straight back to the post?
Yes, I said. If.
Did you see another Humvee?
Don't think so, I said.
Who do you think she is?
I shrugged. Like we figured about the Phantom Hooker. Someone he met somewhere. Irwin, probably. But it could have been anywhere. I stared across at the gas station. Watched cars go by on the road.
Basil and Kuma might know her,
Summer said.
You know, if it was a long-term thing between her and Kramer.
Yes, they might.
Where do you think they are?
I don't know, I said. But I'm sure I'll find them if I need them. I didn't find them. They found me. They were waiting for me in my borrowed office when we got back. Summer dropped me at my door and went to park the car. I walked past the outer desk. The night shift sergeant was back. The mountain woman, with the baby son and the paycheck worries. She gestured at the inner door in a way that told me someone was in there. Someone that ranked a lot higher than either of us. Got coffee, I said.
The machine is on, she said.
I took some with me. My coat was still unbuttoned. My hair was a mess. I looked exactly like a guy who'd been brawling in a parking lot. I walked straight to the desk, put my coffee down. There were two guys in upright visitor chairs against the wall, facing me. They were both in Woodland BDUs. One of them had a Brigadier General star on his collar, and the other had a Colonel's eagle. The General had Vassal on his name tape, and the Colonel had Coomer. Vassal was bald, and Coomer wore eyeglasses, and they were both pompous enough and old enough and short and soft and pink enough to look vaguely ridiculous in BDUs. They looked like Rotary Club members on their way to a fancy dress ball. First impression. I didn't like them very much. I sat down in my chair and saw two slips of paper stacked square in the center of the blotter. The first was a note that said, "Your brother called again, urgent." This time there was a phone number with it. It had a 202 area code. Washington, D.C.
"Don't you salute senior officers?" Vassal said from his chair.
The second note said, "Colonel Garber called. Green Valley PD calculates Mrs. K died approximately 0200. I folded both notes separately and tucked them side by side under the base of my telephone. Adjusted them so I could see exactly half of each one. Looked up in time to see Vassal glaring at me. His naked scalp was going red.
"I'm sorry," I said. "What was the question?"
"Don't you salute senior officers when you enter a room?"
"Well, if they're in my chain of command," I said. "You're not."
"I don't consider that an answer," he said.
"Look it up," I said. "I'm with the 110th Special Unit. We're separate. Structurally, we're parallel to the rest of the Army. We have to be, if you think about it. We can't police you if we're in your chain of command ourselves."
"I'm not here to be policed, son," he said.
"So why are you here? It's kind of late for a social visit."
"I'm here to ask some questions."
"Ask away," I said. "Then I'll ask some of my own. And you know what the difference will be?" He said nothing. "I'll be answering out of courtesy," I said. "You'll be answering because the Uniform Code of Military Justice requires you to." He said nothing, just glared at me. Then he glanced at Coomer. Coomer looked back at him and then at me.
"We're here about General Kramer," he said. "We're his senior staff."
"I know who you are," I said.
"Tell us about the general."
"He's dead," I said.
"We're aware of that. We'd like to know the circumstances."
"He had a heart attack."
"Where?"
"Inside his chest cavity." Vassal glowered.
Where did he die? Coomer said.
I can't tell you that, I said. It's germane to an ongoing inquiry. In what way? Vassal said. In a confidential way. It was around here somewhere, he said. That much is already common knowledge. Well, there you go, I said. What's the conference at Irwin about? What? The conference at Irwin, I said again. Where you were all headed. What about it? I need to know the agenda. Vassal looked at Coomer, and Coomer opened his mouth to start telling me something when my phone rang. It was my desk sergeant. She had Summer out there with her. She was unsure whether to send her in. I told her to go right ahead. So there was a tap on the door, and Summer came in. I introduced her all around, and she pulled a spare chair over to my desk and sat down alongside me, facing them. Two against two. I pulled the second note out from under the telephone and passed it to her. Green Valley PD calculates Mrs. K died approximately 0200. She unfolded it, and read it, and refolded it, and passed it back to me. I put it back under the phone. Then I asked Vassal and Coomer about the Irwin agenda again, and watched their attitudes change. They didn't get any more helpful. It was more of a sideways move than an improvement. But because there was now a woman in the room, they dialed down the overt hostility and replaced it with smug, patronizing civility. They came from that kind of a background and that kind of a generation. They hated MPs, and I was sure they hated women officers. But all of a sudden, they felt they had to be polite.
It was going to be purely routine, Coomer said. Just a regular powwow, nothing of any great importance.
Which explains why you didn't actually go, I said.
Naturally. It seemed much more appropriate to remain here, you know, in the circumstances.
How did you find out about Kramer?
12th Corps called us.
From Germany?
That's where 12th Corps is, Vassal said.
Where'd you stay last night?
In a hotel, Coomer said.
Which one?
The Jefferson, in D.C.
Private or on a DOD ticket?
That hotel is authorized for senior officers.
Why didn't General Kramer stay there?
Because he made alternative arrangements.
When?
When what?
Coomer said. When did he make these alternative arrangements?
Some days ago.
So it wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing?
No, it wasn't.
Do you know what those arrangements were?
Obviously not, Vassal said. Oh, we wouldn't be asking you where he died.
You didn't think he was maybe visiting with his wife?
Was he?
No, I said. Why do you need to know where he died? There was a long pause. Their attitudes changed again. The smugness fell away, and they replaced it with a kind of winsome frankness.
We don't really need to know, Vassal said.
He leaned forward and glanced at Summer like he wished she wasn't there, like he wanted this new intimacy to be purely man-to-man with me.
And we have no specific information or direct knowledge at all, but we're worried that General Kramer's private arrangements could lead to the potential for embarrassment in light of the circumstances.
How well did you know him?
Well, on a professional level, very well indeed. On a personal level, well, about as well as anyone knows his brother officer, which is to say perhaps not well enough.
But you suspect in general terms what his arrangements might have been?
Yes, he said, we have our suspicions.
So it wasn't a surprise to you that he didn't bunk at the hotel?
No, he said, it wasn't.
And it wasn't a surprise when I told you he wasn't visiting with his wife?
Not entirely, no.
So you suspected roughly what he might be doing, but you didn't know where? Vassal nodded his head.
Roughly.
Did you know with whom he might have been doing it? Vassal shook his head.
We have no specific information, he said.
Okay, I said. Doesn't really matter. I'm sure you know the Army well enough to realize that if we discover a potential for embarrassment, we'll cover it up. There was a long pause.
Have all the traces been removed?
Coomer asked.
From wherever it was.
I nodded. We took his stuff.
Good.
I need the Irwin conference agenda, I said. There was another pause.
There wasn't one,
Vassal said. I'm sure there was, I said. This is the Army. It's not the actor's studio. We don't do free improvisation sessions. There was a pause.
There was nothing on paper, Coomer said. I told you, Major, it was no big deal.
How did you spend your day today?
Chasing rumors about the general.
How did you get down here from D.C.?
We have a car and a driver on loan from the Pentagon.
You checked out of the Jefferson?
Yes, we did.
So your bags are in the Pentagon car?
Yes, they are.
Where's the car?
Waiting outside your post headquarters.
It's not my post headquarters, I said. I'm here on temporary detachment. I turned to Summer and told her to go fetch their briefcases from the car. They got all outraged, but they knew they couldn't stop me doing it. Civilian notions about unreasonable search and seizure and warrants and probable cause stop at an Army post main gate. I watched their eyes while Summer was gone. They were annoyed, but they weren't worried. So either they were telling the truth about the Irwin conference, or they had already ditched the relevant paperwork. But I went through the motions anyway. Summer got back carrying two identical briefcases. They were exactly like the one Kramer had in his silver-framed photographs. Staffers kiss up in all kinds of ways. I searched through them on my desk. I found passports, plane tickets, travel vouchers, and itineraries in both of them. But no agendas for Fort Irwin. Sorry for the inconvenience, I said.
Happy now, son, Vassal said.
Kramer's wife is dead, too, I said. Did you know that? I watched them carefully, and I saw that they didn't know. They stared at me, and stared at each other, and started to get pale and upset.
Wow,
Vassal said.
When?
Coomer said.
Last night, I said. She was a homicide victim.
Where?
In her house. There was an intruder.
Do we know who it was?
No, we don't. It's not our case. It's a civilian jurisdiction.
What was it? A burglary?
It maybe started out that way. They said nothing more. Summer and I walked them out to the sidewalk in front of post headquarters and watched them climb into their Pentagon car. It was a Mercury Grand Marquis, a couple of model years newer than Mrs. Kramer's big old boat, and black rather than green. Their driver was a tall guy in BDUs. He had subdued order badges on, and I couldn't make out his name or his rank in the dark. But he didn't look like an enlisted man. He U-turned smoothly across the empty road and drove Vassal and Coomer away. We watched his taillights disappear north through the main gate and away into the darkness beyond.
What do you think?
Summer said. I think they're full of shit, I said.
Important shit? Or regular flag rank shit?
They're lying, I said. They're uptight, they're lying, and they're stupid. Why am I worried about Kramer's briefcase?
Sensitive paperwork, she said. Whatever he was carrying to California.
I nodded. They just defined it for me. It's the conference agenda itself.
You sure there was one?
There's always an agenda, and it's always on paper. There's a paper agenda for everything. You want to change the dog food and the canine kennels, you need 47 separate meetings with 47 separate paper agendas. So there was one for Irwin, that's for damn sure. It was completely stupid to say there wasn't. If they've got something to hide, they should have just said it's too secret for me to see.
Maybe the conference wasn't really important.
That's bullshit, too. It was very important.
Why?
Because a two-star general was going. And a one-star. And because it was New Year's Eve, Summer. Who flies on New Year's Eve and spends the night in a lousy stopover hotel? And this year in Germany was a big deal. The wall is coming down. We won after 45 years. The parties must have been incredible. Who would miss them for something unimportant?
To have gotten those guys on a plane on New Year's Eve, this Irwin thing had to be some kind of a very big deal.